How about the opposition, John? A bit more about favourite opponents or feared opponents.
Well, I mean, you have to say it, that at that time, it, you know, local any local derby, like, you know, Bristol was the main one. Bath weren't so much when I was playing of a threat to us. But you had Moseley, you had, you know, probably half a dozen internationals.
Mm-hmm.
Coventry, that was always a real hard game. But you know, saying this, I'm looking, thinking to try and find out how many games there were in a season which you think, oh, that's going to be hard.
Mm.
It wasn't like that, because you know you'd always get two or three, you know, easy games in between.
Yeah.
So, and obviously any Welsh opposition, no matter who they were, was always going to be difficult, especially away from home.
Mm.
You know,
great players in the back row or at outside half for that matter that you played against.
Yeah, I mean, you know, when you look at your, as I said, you know, Tony Neary up at, for Lancashire, and, you know, you had outside half, you know, David Duckham in the centres there, you had Finlan, who was the outside half at Moseley. You tended not to focus too much, you know, you just concentrate on doing your job, really, because if you start thinking too much about, oh, he can do this, he can do that, then you can... You know, you tend to lose focus yourself a bit, I think.
Yeah.
I think if you want to just treat them, or they're another player, and do the best you can.
Yeah.
Obviously, you know, when you knew somebody that was coming up, you probably concentrate a bit more, but that was it, really.
There must be the odd trip that you looked forward to rather less than...
Well, Leicester was always a good away trip. Again, that was another hard game.
Yeah.
But even then...
Once you're over the bridge as well, I expect.
Well, into Wales, yeah. I mean, I can't say you ever look forward to going over the bridge into Wales. No, I remember the United played about 8 or 10 on the trot in Wales under Gerry Hearn when he, you know, he put his hand up. He played in all of them. He was one of a few. You could never say you look forward to going, you know, in that respect, because you knew. I mean, don't forget, you didn't have proper touch judges then.
No,
you know, you probably had biased referees. It was very, very hard, and they took great pleasure in kicking the hell out of you, you know, as well. So it wasn't easy.
No.
It wasn't easy.
No.
Especially places like Pontypool
or Neath.
Oh yeah, I mean, we played. You go down on a Friday and play Swansea, and then you go down the following Friday and play Aberavon, or the other way around, because it was international weekend, you know. So I mean, they were extremely hard. Ebervale away, you know, and there's always, if you like, for what, there was always a hitman amongst them somewhere, you know, who would always dish it out. And
I always remember that there was one season, I can't remember what it was, Gloucester went down to Pontypool on the Wednesday and got beaten. Then we had Harlequins on the Saturday, just 3 days later, and Harlequins put about 40 points on us, I think. And the papers were raving about what a wonderful display it was by Harlequins. Poor Gloucester players, it's most of the team that had played on Wednesday were turning out again 3 days later.
Yeah.
What were they supposed to do? It was ridiculous to my mind.
Well, you train on a Monday, you play on a Wednesday, train on a Thursday, play on the Saturday, and if you're involved in the county, you trained on the Sunday as well. So you've been back in training Monday, so...
Yeah.
No, there was no, and they didn't have things like recovery and ice baths. And you imagine telling somebody like John Bailey to get an ice bath.
Yeah.
I don't think it would happen, you know, but that's how the game has changed, isn't it? But no, you didn't have. I always remember a lot of players would say on a Sunday morning sometimes go for a swim or something because they felt so much better. But in actual fact, now, again, in hindsight, you look back, you're just getting rid of all that build up of toxins in your body, aren't you? You know, that they get rid of by going in a cold bath, just having to stretch out or whatever.
Yeah.
But it was never taken at that. You just had stiffness, but you carried through to the next game. I mean, the warm-up was just up and down in the bloody room, you know?
Yeah.
And that was it. Yeah. If the fire was on, it was a good warm-up, you know? it was a bit like that.
In the 60s and 70s, I mean, Gloucester played over 50 fixtures.
Yeah.
Wasps and Harlequins played about 35.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, that was the huge difference, wasn't it, when you came to play sides like that?
Yeah, it was just something you didn't think too much about, to be honest with you. You just thought, you know, for me, you just wanted to play. you know, as a young man, you just wanted to play.
Oh yeah,
and play for Gloucester. Yeah. So the fact that other teams weren't playing that, you never really entered the psyche. In actual fact, they used to put a board. You probably got some of them, but the number of appearances on the wall, mm-hmm. and you used to take pride to get up the higher up there you could. You could get, you know, you had to play 21 games in a season.
Yeah.
To get a tie,
yeah.
So it was, you know, it was.
Well, here you played 70-71, 40 games.
Did I really?
Good God. Yeah. And more than that, 73-74, 42.
Right.
Now that's a lot of games.
But you've got to remember, you know, we go back, it wasn't of continuous physicality or tense, you know, that, you know. Intenseness that there is in the games nowadays. You know, week after week, if you look at the Premiership, there's not an easy game, no matter what. Even if they do end up winning, it's not easy. But then you know, you could think, well, we got Old Merchant Taylors, you know, it was a little of a run out, and you've got, you know, New Brighton or something, you know, or you'd have Lydney on the Thursday or the, you know, but. So
there were these sequences, like I mentioned, that game against Pontypool midweek, and then Harlequins on the Saturday. On the previous Saturday to the Pontypool game, I can't remember what it was, but it was another top class game. I know, so three top class games in a week.
Yeah.
I mean, you didn't rest players then either. You know, you had players, but you didn't rest players. Everybody wanted to be in and play.
Because
I said the first time I played Ebervale, they dropped Gary White only just for that game, and he was most put out by that. He really was put out, and it was like that. You just wanted to play, you know, but you couldn't do it. It's impossible to do now.
But I mean, people talk about physicality and intensity, but on the other hand, I mean, you had no half time worth speaking of.
5 minutes,
exactly. And in addition to that, you didn't have people coming on with energy drinks every 5 minutes.
The half time. That was just been a longer game, you know. You wouldn't have taken it like they do now, tactically. And I said the first time I went then into Dowdy Folk, who was Bobby Folk's father, was the sponge man. He rung on with a wet, you know, wet sponge, cold, and that. Go, oh, that's all right, get up and off you go. It really started to turn that people started taking interest in the medical side of players and the well being when Dr. Tom Durkin joined the club. Along with John Fry, who was then looking after the first aid and stuff like that, was doing an admirable job, but it needed more than that. And it wasn't until Tom Durkin moved into this area, got himself involved, and then he got some people from St John's Ambulance involved, that it actually did start to consider players' welfare, you know. I mean, you know, if you wanted physio, it just couldn't go and have physio. It was always very difficult, you know. But so that has changed.
And before substitutes came in, if you were injured, you just had to stay on the field, didn't
you? Yeah, you did.
Do what you could.
Yeah, and you know, we're finding out now. I mean, I can't remember too many players, I've got to be honest, strange enough, having concussion at our time, but you didn't own up to that. You just, I'm all right, and played on, you know, and players did play on with knocks. Again, because you didn't feel that you were letting the rest of the team down, and also that you wanted to be picked the following week. It was one of those.
Yeah.
It was a hard game, wasn't
it? I think it's fair to say, I think, you know, modern players might argue about this, but I just felt ours was a much dirtier game. Dirtier game, where now you can't deny the physicality and the speed of the modern game, and I'm sure they've worked out ways, but I mean, you know, to dig some if they wanted to. But the cameras and the coverage and everything else now that goes on, you know, you know, retrospectively, you can get hauled over the coast.
Well, exactly.
Yeah. So,
I remember some of the local derbies against Stroud and Lydney.
I mean,
they could get in Cheltenham.
Cheltenham,
they could get quite interesting.
Yeah, I mean, you had Dave Prothero with Hooker. I mean, the first game I played over there, there was Dave Prothero with Hooker and Mike Nichols with Hooker. They had Blakeway and Fiddler with them playing for Cheltenham, and we had Berto and whatever. And the scrum went up, and there was Prothero and Nichols kicking each other, and you know, it was just, wow, what's all this? You know, it really was. You know, could be a bit hairy, but we played. I remember we played Cardiff at King's Home, and over the old clubhouse used to be, the main bar, and something happening, bit of a bust up, and Dick Smith said, well, ref, look at that, and pointed the opposite direction. The ref turned around and Dick floored his bloke. And, you know, but there was nothing. no touch judges then. There was nothing. The next guy, whenever that happened, they had no way of any, you know, people coming back at you then.
Yeah. Just well, didn't happen. As a spectator, I mean, there were a number of occasions, you know, during a season where you just blink and you say, what happened there?
Yeah.
There's a player on the floor. You didn't see it. Nothing. You know, it just suddenly is on the floor.
Yeah.
I remember a particularly bad time that was Marcus Hannaford, I think, was playing against Saracens, I think. And this Saracens player was right down on the touchline in front of me in the shed, and he punched Marcus Hannaford from behind, broke his jaw.
Oh, yes,
and
I remember that.
Nothing happened.
No.
Touch judge was stood there, for God's sake. But of course, it was before neutral touch judges. It must have been the Saracens touch judges, but he didn't see anything. The referee
didn't
see anything.
The truth is, you couldn't intervene then, could you? It's only, you know, if you like, professionalism that's come in that, you know,
but
you
that
couldn't
was
intervene.
Shocking. That was really shocking.
One of the strangest things that, you know, being a Gloucester born and bred is that I always just wanted to play for Gloucester. And I found it really strange to get, you know, they move around nowadays to club, but that's professional sport, isn't it?
Yes.
When at the time I was involved with the club, that John Brain, Nick Marmont, and I forget his name, the prop, went to play for Bedford. They left playing for Gloucester and went to play for Bedford because of financial incentives.
Mm.
And I found that really strange for me. You know, I know later on Kevin Dunn went to play for Wasp, same sort of thing.
Mm.
But I somebody just always wanted to play for Gloucester. I couldn't quite get my head around that.